Welcome back. Backspin Golf. Ooh, it's getting cold. We don't have much longer to the golf season. I mean, unless you're on the PGA Tour and then your season's already started. It's great. But I wanted to touch base, kind of wrap up a couple of things with our buddy Dan Houser from, you can follow him on Twitter at Dan Houser Golf, H-A-U-S-E-R, golf. And he's a writer for thestiffshaft.com. It's my favorite, absolute favorite name for a website anywhere. Hi, Dan.
How's it going?
It's going all right. Now, as regular listeners to our show know, because you've joined us many times, you're down there in Florida, but you're okay. This time, the rest of the state got hit, and you're okay.
Yeah, this time I'm all good. That unfortunate event that happened yesterday was about 6 hours north and west. So, with the exception of a afternoon rainstorm, which is typical for this time of year, regardless of what's going on in the tropics, we're all good here.
Yeah, well, that's good news, certainly. And we're sorry about what's happening in every other part of that state. I just mentioned, unless you're on the PGA Tour, because it's a new season already, and this week in Kuala Lumpur, which is, you know, who wouldn't know that there's a PGA Tour event going on there now?
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, everybody knows that. It's one of the regular stops on the PGA Tour. Feelings, I'm sure I know how you feel about this, but this whole wraparound season, and, you know, we had 3 days from the end of the Ryder Cup till the start of the new season. It's so ridiculous to me. It's like, why?
What, you mean you didn't enjoy your very, very long 3-day off season? Because I know I did. I got so much accomplished.
Yeah, it's a good point. I didn't think of it that way. Holy cow. I mean, we've already started on, they're already talking about who's going to make it to East Lake in the next year's FedEx. I mean, the whole thing is.
I know I'm not supposed to say this because I'm supposed to be one of the members of the esteemed golf media, but
yeah. Well,
for
go
anyone
ahead.
Who does, for anyone who does regularly check my website, they will notice it's the end of the Ryder Cup, with the exception of the just thank you to the U.S. team for just giving me so much content, and I'm sure we'll talk about that more here in a few minutes. With the exception of that lovely, lovely content at the hands of Patrick Reed and family, there hasn't been a lot of content going up because, as far as I'm concerned, I need a break to recharge. I mean, I know it sounds very difficult to sit around all day every day and write about golf and cover golf, but I can assure you that sometimes, even myself, I need to recharge the batteries for a little bit. So,
of course,
when I say I didn't watch a single shot of golf last week from that tournament, even this one's always tough for all of us over on this side of the world because of the 12-hour time difference. So, you know, I'll watch as much as I can over the weekend here. It'll be a little bit easier, of course, with a little bit, you know, easier to kind of not have traditional sleeping hours, you know, once you hit the weekend and whatnot.
Right.
But, yeah, it's, you know what, I understand from the PGA Tour's perspective why they have the wraparound schedule. If there's companies out there that want to give them money, they should take their money. Absolutely. I'm not telling them not to take the money. There are many golfers out there who just came off the web.com tour just earned their PGA Tour cards. Obviously, they need to get out and play these tournaments to get points to be able to retain their tour cards because, obviously, once the top 20, 30 guys in the world decide to come back and play PGA Tour events again, those spots that these guys that are just coming off the web.com tour are now getting, they won't be getting them anymore. So, obviously, they need to play every start that they can get to keep their priority rankings in order.
Right.
But, man, from a fan's perspective, from a media member's perspective, it's just tough right now to be able to get into these tournaments. And I understand that Justin Thomas is playing this weekend. I understand that this particular event is one of the bigger of the fall series. And, of course, you know, Phil played last week. So there are names showing up for these fall events. But, man, is it tough, especially after how draining that Ryder Cup was.
Yeah.
To just say, okay, well, you just went through all that. Now take 2 days off and we're right back at it again.
Well, but there are some who basically took the Ryder Cup off, like Phil Mickelson. So he went to Napa and had some wine and – you know, not a big deal. I mean,
exactly. Yeah, he sure took that one off all right.
Here's the thing. It's for me, and I know this from experience, it's a lot harder to shoot a high number because you're hitting more shots, you're swinging more, Phil should have been the most exhausted one of that whole group with how many shots he had to hit and where he was hitting them from. But, all right, any final thoughts on the Ryder Cup? We've all talked about it and heard about all the stuff. Any final thoughts from Dan Houser of the Stiff Shaft?
The 2018 United States Ryder Cup team is literally the gift that keeps on giving, and I cannot thank them enough for their absolutely just bombing the way they did, because the content that they have provided for not just myself, but for all of us in the golf community is just perfection. Absolute perfection.
Thank you,
Patrick Reed. Thank you, Patrick Reed's mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Thank you,
his wife, his
Johnson and Brooks Koepka, for maybe doing something, maybe not doing something. Thank you to all of them.
Well, here's the thing. And as somebody who was an actor for a really long time, I watched the video of Tommy Fleetwood and Francesco Molinari in bed, and it was fantastic. And the videos that the European team did before the competition were fantastic.
Absolutely. But we've grown to expect that from the European team before, during, and after. Even in winning and defeat, they always do that. But, man, when these U.S. teams lose, do they lose.
And
it is fantastic.
It is. It's great. But my point is, so I'm looking at your Twitter account. And a couple days ago, I didn't even see this because, frankly, I don't care that Brooks Koepka won the Player of the Year. I mean, it's great for him. Good for him. But,
well, and it was basically the most obvious thing ever. If anyone watched golf this year, you know he was winning it.
Yeah. And so the whole Player of the Year thing, in relation to these videos like that the Europeans did, where they're really good actors too. Like Tommy Fleetwood and Molinari were really good in that little video.
Excellent. Absolutely excellent.
Okay. Yeah. So now I look at Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson, and you know, I happen to believe that this did happen because I have a little inside information, but I think it did. Something happened. And
something absolutely happened. Yeah.
And they put up a video, and you could see it on your Twitter account, and it is horrible. It's just the two of them with Dustin congratulating him on winning the Player of the Year trophy, and they're horrible. They're like the worst actors I've ever seen.
It's so bad that it's good.
Yeah, but
bad that it actually turns to good because of how horrible it is.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't get it, and I'm not – maybe I should contact – I don't know who we should get in touch with. Maybe I'll call a couple of people that were around the Ryder Cup and see, because I could do some acting coaching for the team in 2 years, because obviously we need it. I mean, this is just brutal. All right, so we had the Ryder Cup. Now we got the new season going, and then we'll have a little bit of time off, and then in January we'll get ramped up again. What goes on, like, with the Stiff Shaft, where you have a website that you're writing for all the time? You guys don't take a break, right?
No.
Yeah. So I know what you can write about. This huge upcoming match between Tiger and Phil.
Oh, you mean the one I'm not going to watch?
Yeah, that one. What now? A lot of people.
The one that nobody's going to watch because no one's allowed on the course.
A lot of people don't know what we're talking about. Why don't you explain what just came out?
So for people who don't even know about the match at this point, obviously, Tiger and Phil, around Thanksgiving time, they're going to have a 18-hole match play, just the two of them out in Vegas for $9 million of money that they're not putting up on their own.
Right.
Not even any of their own money. They're going to put it on pay-per-view only for a undisclosed amount. They haven't announced how much that pay-per-view is going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than 99 cents. It's 99 cents too much. I'll tell you that right now.
Correct.
And then we come to find out today that no one is going to be allowed on the golf course they're going to be playing on. And by that, I mean, whereas we just saw a couple weeks ago, and it will probably go down as one of the most iconic moments in professional golf history, Tiger Woods walking up the 18th fairway at Eastlake with
2 million people?
With all of Georgia and half the country, it seemed, still behind him, swarming him. You're not going to get to see any of that during this match because they've announced that no tickets will be sold, and no public will be allowed on the property whatsoever. The only people that will basically be allowed there are agents, representatives, probably a few media members, and then, of course, the camera crews and the TV people and all that, and some quote-unquote select VIPs, whatever that means. So you, you can draw your own conclusions on who those people are going to be.
Yeah.
But for the average Joe, like you or me, who might say, hey, you know what? Why don't we spend the weekend, the Thanksgiving weekend out in Vegas? We'll go watch this awesome golf tournament. Nope, you won't because you're not going to get on there. They're going to send you right away.
It's going
to
be.
Pull up the driveway. So good luck to that. So you have this Tiger versus Phil match, which, okay, you can say all you want about how these guys are washed up and they're over the hill and people wanted to see this 20 years ago and not anymore. But people like Tiger, people like Phil, people want to see them play each other, and they've literally done, taken everything awesome about this and made it about as bad as you could make it.
Here's the thing. There will be, the only people really allowed on the golf course will be Tiger and Phil and their caddies.
Pretty much.
Period. Yeah. So Tim Mickelson will be there, Joe Lacava will be there, and Tiger and Phil, and I don't know who they're going to have, you know, what celebrities they're going to allow to be out there.
I'm sure Alfonso Ribeiro will be allowed to be there. Phil will have his wife and kids there.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, Alfonso Ribeiro will be there.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
and here's the thing. It's going to be on pay-per-view. They're going to be mic'd. And there's, you know, they've been saying there's going to be a lot of trash talking going on because it's these two guys playing for all this money that's not theirs. And in that could have been fun were it live on TV, and you could sit on your couch and go, I can't believe Phil just said that to Tiger. But here's the thing. I'm thinking so much of it will be forced that even that's not going to be anything worth watching.
Well, even just the initial quote-unquote trash talking on Twitter to announce that this happened was so forced and contrived. No one ever believed that it was real trash talking in the first place to begin with. So this whole thing started in that light.
Yeah. I mean, so, all right, so you won't be able to write about that. Basically, you'll be waiting around to hear if the RNA changed a rule or the PGA of America did this or the PGA Tour.
I don't want to give too many spoilers away.
Oh, okay, all right.
I've got a couple things up my sleeve that I'm working on.
Ooh.
And I hope to be able to release to everyone to give everyone some nice holiday reading while there's no golfing going on. One may or may not involve somebody that you may or may not have met a couple weeks ago during your experiences out at a pro-am, and we'll just leave it at that.
Oh, whoa, wait, oh. All right, if you tell me what that is a little later, I'll call you back. I'll tell you what really happened between Brooks and DJ.
Deal.
Okay, all right. Now, before I let you go, one really cool thing that happened, and it happened on the European Tour. The Dunhill Links was being played last weekend and on the European Tour. And because of weather and all kinds of stuff, they had a shotgun start for the final round of that pro tournament. Now, those of us that play in celebrity golf tournaments or different golf tournaments, shotgun starts means there's a group on every hole, not on number one and number 10, every hole. And that's how they did the Dunhill Links. And I think that's got to be the greatest thing ever in professional golf. Shotgun start.
Greatest thing I've ever seen, and it not just because of the fact that the tournament ended on the 17th hole of St. Andrews, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the most iconic holes with the hotel right there.
Yep.
You know,
the road hole.
To the side. Absolutely. But then on top of that, literally, there was no downtime. Every hole had a golfer hitting a shot at all times. So from a television perspective, from a viewing perspective, there was always something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you had one guy on 17 wrapping up and another guy wrapping up on 18 at the exact same time that we're both trying to win the tournament. So
right.
It's not like the guy in the group ahead of you and then you can see what he does and you know what you've got to do to finish up. These guys are literally finishing up simultaneously, both going for the win. So nobody can play based off what the other guy's doing.
Awesome.
Which was also awesome. And then just the fact of the matter that in a professional golf tournament had a shotgun start to determine the winner of a final round was also fantastic. Just in the concept of what that sentence I just said alone was fantastic.
Now, let's do this. How about doing this every week on the PGA Tour? Let's go. Let's really get some interest going here. I'm all for that.
I could see this becoming a regular thing on the European Tour because they are more creative when it comes to stuff like this. The PGA Tour would never do it, but I'm all for, not every week, but I'm all for the European Tour doing one tournament every year with all four rounds of shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
How about that? Why don't we do all four rounds of the shotgun start?
Don't think they won't really take that into consideration because they will.
I'm sure they probably saw all the praise online and how popular it was on Twitter, and I'm sure they probably look at the viewership numbers and see how popular it was from a viewer perspective. And if by 2020 there's not at least one tournament on the European Tour a year that's a full blown shotgun start all four rounds,
yeah.
Or at the very least, you know, for Saturday and Sunday,
right.
I'd be shocked because they do those innovative things that no one would think about until you see it and you're like, wow, how has nobody ever done this before?
Well, I could just say to do it over here would mean, because we all know how I feel about our golf coverage on these networks over here, it'd be just a disaster. Anyway, so hopefully it won't happen here. All right, you're the greatest, man. I'll give you a call a little later and tell you what really happened with Brooks and DJ.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thanks, Dan.
All right, always good talking to you.
See ya.